You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media, and I'm Tom Byrne. A spring survey showed a decline in the number of red knots stopping along the Delaware Bay during their annual migration. It's a decline some see as troubling, and those concerned are seeking stronger measures to protect the red knot and the horseshoe crabs that provide the eggs they feed on. But contributor John Hurdle reports not everyone sees this latest data as reason to act. He looks at this tug of war in his latest piece, available at DelawarePublic.org, and he joined me earlier this week to explain where things stand. So what exactly did the Delaware Bay count this year show as far as red knots go? Where does the numbers we saw this spring fit compared to other years?
Well, the latest number bay-wide, this is on both sides of the bay, New Jersey and Delaware, was 6,880 birds, and that compares with about 19,000 in 2020 and about 30,000 in the previous 2 years. And so the latest level is actually the lowest since records began in 1982. So we're looking at a very big decline. And that all of those numbers should actually be put in a more historical context. Back in the early 1980s, there were around about 90,000 red knots migrating through Delaware Bay every year. So there's so that the population, whichever way you cut it, is in serious trouble. It's also worth mentioning at this point that these little birds, they weigh less than 5 ounces each when they're mature, and some of them migrate from the southernmost tip of South America to their breeding grounds in Arctic Canada. It's a migration of about 10,000 miles, which is one of the longest in the avian world. And in order to do that, some of those birds fly nonstop for multiple days before stopping over in the Delaware Bay and hopefully finding enough food there that allows them to complete the migration. So all of which I think helps to explain why this little bird has actually caught public imagination and has attracted such strenuous conservation efforts for such a long time.
And with that in mind, you know, what do those who watch these numbers on a regular basis think about why this number dropped so significantly in this current year?
Well, their best explanation so far is that last year in 2020, ocean temperatures were unusually cold during the migration season. What that meant was that the crabs, horseshoe crabs, whose eggs feed the birds during their migration, are essential fuel for them. The spawning of the crabs was late. And so, therefore, there was little or no food when the birds arrived in the bay, but they kept on flying, and many of them simply ran out of energy. So there was, biologists think, a very high mortality. Around about maybe as much as 40% of the birds died on their way to the Arctic because they were unable to refuel on the Delaware Bay. And all of that is a consequence of the low numbers showing up on the Delaware during the northbound migration this year.
Now, you reported that DENREC is kind of saying, wait a minute, they're disputing this survey's numbers of red knots. Why is DENREC kind of skeptical of the count we saw this spring?
Well, they say, for one thing, that the count that we've just been discussing is based on an assessment bay-wide, which takes place on just one day, versus the total migration season, which lasts for DENREC says about 5 weeks, so throughout May and in the early part of June. DENREC also says that there are plentiful, or this year at least, there were plentiful horseshoe crab eggs on the bay beaches, and they also cite a report from a place called Tierra del Fuego, which is on the southern tip of South America, which is where some of the birds begin this massive migration. And the report, they also spend the winter there, the northern winter, and the latest count from there, from last winter, is that the population was stable, according to DENREC. So they're saying they still have to get together with other state and federal agencies, and they're continuing to evaluate the data that they've got this year, but they say that it's too early to conclude that there's been a massive decline in the not population.
So obviously the advocates, though, are worried about this decline for the red knot. What are some of the things they're asking Delaware and I guess also New Jersey to do to avoid further erosion of the population?
Well, what they say is that Delaware is actually doing the right thing. One of those is that the state requires that the fishing industry only takes male crabs. And the importance of that, of course, is that it's females that lay the eggs and therefore provide the food for the birds. And that regulation, which has been put in place by the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission, it's been in place since 2014. And so the advocates say that Delaware enforces those regulations, and so is preventing the harvest of for the last 7 years has prevented the harvest of female crabs. The other endorsement, if you like, that the advocates give to Delaware is that the state does not allow horseshoe crabs to be harvested by the biomedical industry, and that harvest takes place because the industry uses crab blood to test for bacteria in medical products, and so what they do say is that there are two states on the bay that do still allow the harvest of female horseshoe crabs, and those are Maryland and Virginia, and so the advocates are saying that preventing that harvest would be one way of helping to conserve the horseshoe crab population.
So what is DENREC saying about horseshoe crab harvest and what's happening there? And I guess in a lot of ways they're kind of downplaying any issues with horseshoe crab eggs. Why is that, and what are they saying?
Well, they say that a more important determinant of the local red knot population, it takes place in the Arctic, in the breeding grounds that they migrate to. And DENREC points to things like snow melt and the availability of prey in the Arctic, which they say are more important than the level of the population or the density of horseshoe crabs on the horseshoe crab eggs on the Delaware Bay, and they're saying that because of this this quota system, which is set by the fisheries regulator and enforced by the state, then the male and the ratio between male and female crabs has remained stable for the last half a dozen years.
So tell us a little bit more about the horseshoe crab harvest. Why are these eggs so valuable?
Well, it's not the eggs so much as the crabs themselves, and there's two answers to that. One is that they're used for bait by the commercial commercial fishing industry, and the other, which is in fact far more controversial at the moment, is that as I mentioned a moment ago, horseshoe crab blood is used by the biomedical industry for testing for bacteria. And what happens is that crabs are taken and about 30% of their blood is withdrawn, and then the animals are returned to the ocean. And so the companies, the so-called bleeding companies that perform this operation, plus the pharmaceutical industry, they extract from the crab blood a substance called LAL, which, as I said, is used for the detection of bacteria. And the reason that is controversial is that there is a readily available synthetic alternative.
I'm curious. You talked a little bit about Delaware kind of doing right by horseshoe crabs at this juncture. What else is it doing to protect the red knot and the migratory habitat? Can you tell us a little bit about some of the things that, and we've talked about them before, that Delaware is doing to try to make sure that this habitat stays preserved?
Indeed, and probably the best known conservation of the red knot in Delaware is Miss Billion Harbor down in Sussex County. And there are various number of tracts of land, seashore and salt marsh down there that are already, that have been under Denrec's control for a number of years. But they've been added to quite recently, just in the last few months, private conservation group formally transferred those lands to Denrec so that they can be permanently preserved with the aim of providing a protected habitat for the birds as they come through the bay.
Is there any concern, John, that waiting to take action, waiting to do more could have dire consequences for the red knot? Is taking a wait-and-see approach, which seems to be what Denrec is talking about, problematic in any way?
Certainly the advocates would say that yes, it is problematic, and it's simply because the population is now so low that it wouldn't take very much to wipe it out altogether. And the latest explanation for the bird's decline, that is this unexpected cooling of ocean temperatures last season, is an illustration of the problem that the population as a whole is not strong enough, it's not numerous enough to withstand natural fluctuations. If there is a bad weather in the Arctic during the breeding season, some of the birds will not survive that. But of course, if the population is sufficiently large, then the species as a whole will survive, even if some portion of them die off. So the best hope, advocates say, is to ban the biotech harvest. And so what they're pushing for is for the pharmaceutical industry as a whole to adopt the synthetic equivalent to the crab to the blood based product that's currently used by the industry. And the way to do that, they say, there's an organization called USP, which is essentially a trade group, sets professional standards for the pharmaceutical industry, and so the advocates have been pressing USP for quite a while now to formally endorse the synthetic alternative to the crab-based product, so that hopefully that will result in a wholesale switch away from the crab product, and reduce the pressure on the horseshoe crab population.
Thanks to contributor John Hurdle for his time this week. His piece on the red knot population numbers and options to help protect this migrating shorebird is available at DelawarePublic.org. And stay with us. We look at where cicadas are popping up in the first state and what we're learning about them in their latest reemergence. This is The Green on Delaware Public Media.